to Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening, featuring one of America's most tenured gardening broadcasters. Once again, here's Neil Sperry.
Thank you very much, Mary Travlin. Welcome to our second hour for this glorious Sunday morning, and we are here to answer your plant questions. We have ample phone calls for a few moments. I'll give you the number in just a minute. Let's right now go to Steve Huddleston, the senior horticulturist at the Fort Worth Botanic Garden. His report is sponsored today by Busy Bees Pest Control. Steve, good morning. Appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, Neil.
Yeah, and you're going to talk about flowers and a festival. That sounds just really festive, really fun.
Well, we have both at the garden. First of all, New Dawn Rose is blooming on trellises in the Fuller Garden. This is an absolutely beautiful rose. It was released in 1930. It's a vigorous, repeat, blooming climber rose that gets about 15 to 20 feet tall. The double flowers open as a light pink and then fade to a blush cream as the flowers open fully. And there is some wonderful fragrance to this rose. It blooms strongest in the spring, lightly during the summer, and then again in the fall. And it is now one of 23 Earth Kind roses. So it's on the list, and it's certainly deserving of that designation.
Steve, one of the things that is kind of interesting to track is the origin of names of roses. And I know that when I was in college about a million years ago, a rose called Better Times was the standard greenhouse red rose that was produced in northern greenhouses. I grew up in Texas, but my degrees are from Ohio State, and that was the rose that we all learned how to prune and back when roses were grown in greenhouses. Better Times was named coming out of the Depression. New Dawn in 1930, I'm sensing, might very well have that same kind of an origin. These are really historic roses,
yes.
And that's way cool. So, and Earth Kind roses, just like I mentioned to the caller last hour, these are the bulletproof ones. If there are any, indeed, out of the thousands of roses, these are the 23 that are most likely to succeed in Texas conditions.
Yes.
Roughleaf dogwood always blooms about 6 weeks after regular dogwood does, and it's in bloom right now at the gardens?
It is. This is a small deciduous tree or large shrub that gets about 15 feet tall. It is native to the state, and we have it in several locations. We have a nice colony of it, the biggest colony near the perennial garden. But this is a tree, shrub, well-suited for part sun to shade. It forms a thicket under big shade trees where nothing else will grow. White flower clusters 3 inches wide for about 1 week appear in the spring. And then in late summer, little white fruits appear that birds absolutely love. So it's a good plant for a wildscape. But it's blooming now. It's pretty. The flowers don't last that long, but while they're on the plant, they are very pretty.
Yeah, Cornus drummondi, Drummond, the botanist Drummond was instrumental in naming a lot of plants. This is roughleaf dogwood, and it's native here.
Yes.
In the alkaline soils. It is. If you're thinking about the East Texas dogwoods, when you go out looking for it, it's not going to please you. It's not as showy as they are, but it's a wonderful native dogwood for the attributes that Steve mentioned. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Spring Festival, tell us about it.
Well, that's this coming Saturday and a week from today, next Sunday. This is the Spring Festival in the Japanese Garden. Saturday will be from 10 to 5, and then next Sunday from 11 to 5. This is an opportunity for folks to celebrate Japanese culture and the beauty of our 7.5-acre Japanese garden. The festival features traditional Japanese dance and music, martial arts, swordsmanship, bonsai, ikebana, the tea ceremony, children's activities, an art show and sale, pottery demonstration and sale, and food vendors. The admission is $5 for adults, $3 for children, 4 through 12. And free for those under four, yes.
All right, and how does somebody find the Japanese garden when they want to come next week, or will it be off-site parking?
Let's see. You know, there will be off-site parking, and again, we want to start with the weekend parking lot, which is on the access road between University Drive and Montgomery. And then additional overflow parking will be at Christ Chapel Church right there at Montgomery and I-30.
All right, and folks, if you're coming out today to see the Japanese garden, which is absolutely acceptable, they won't throw you out, You just need to take the original entrance to the Fort Worth Botanic Garden, the one that is closer to I-30, and in through the great big trees, and then just keep veering gently to the left, just a little bit to the left, and suddenly there will be a sign that says Japanese Garden to the right, 90-degree turn in right after the Rock Springs building, and you can park there. But next week, that lot's going to be kind of busy.
Yes, exactly.
All right. How does somebody find you other than what I just said?
Well, we are just north of I-30 on University Drive across from Trinity Park.
All right, in the museum area, and so it's very easy to find. How do they find you on the phone?
Well, that number is 817-871-7686.
And the easiest of all, how do they find you on the Internet?
That is easy, fwbg.org.
That's the website for the Fort Worth Botanic Garden. Just use the initials, fwbg.org, and it's beautiful. What a grand day today would be to take a picnic out, and there are lots of places to enjoy a picnic at the Botanic Garden, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend Steve Huddleston. All right, talk to you next Sunday. That report sponsored by Busy Bees Pest Control. I'm going to give you two or three phone numbers so you can reach them easily. And it is a company worth contacting. They did some work for me at my magazine office this spring, and they could have told me that I had termites. We had a few ants that had gotten in. It was not a big deal. They are just really great. Several years ago, when I needed to have a sponsor, a pest elimination sponsor, several friends said, you need to contact these people. They are really the deal. They are the best, and you will be very happy. I've never cited exactly who those references came from, but they were... I will just say they were within the education community, and they knew what they were talking about. And boy, now that I know the Busy Bees people, they really knew what they were talking about. Busy Bees Pest Control has been around since 1967. Leland and Lisa Morris have grown it since 1997 from a small company to one now that has more than 50 employees. Two of their employees are dogs, bed bug detection dogs, Alfie and Trapper, and they're pretty awesome. They provide pest control services both to residential and to commercial properties. They handle all forms of pest control, from ants like we had, termites, bees, bed bugs, to animal trapping and bird control, and so much more. They are truly a full-service pest elimination company. They will help you. They are good, and they serve the Metroplex. They supply their customers the best in pest problem solutions. Here are the numbers. If you're in Fort Worth, 817-838-7311. 817-838-7311. In the Dallas side of the Metroplex, 972-416-9404. 972-416-9404. Toll free from anywhere, 1-800. Listen to this number, 1-800-INSECTS. How'd they get that? 1-800-INSECTS, or visit them on the web at busybees.com, BIZZYBEES.com. Busy Bees Pest Control.
Hi, this is Jerry Garrison, president with Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano.
Hi, this is Johnny Hooper with Hooper Music Productions.
And I'm John Ingram of John Eagle Honda in Dallas.
Bob Brackman, you're listening to my friend Neil Sperry. Let's get back to Neil.
All right, and Lee Riza, we're going to take two calls before we take our next longer break, because these people have been waiting so long. We'll get Joan and Larry addressed before we take another break. Joan, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
I have four oak leaf hydrangeas. They're about 5 years old. They're on the south side of the house, but the way our house is situated, they don't get that extreme south sun. They get nice east morning sun. They've done very well for about 3.5 years, and now the two middle ones, half of the bush has died, and they are trying to come out just a little bit, but they're struggling. The one closest to the house is big, but now it has black spots on the leaves, no blooms. The one on the far side, which is gets the most east sun, the leaves are kind of curling up. It does have blooms, but obviously it's not very happy. So,
hi, Joan. I'm going to try my best to help you. I have 20 or 25 oak leaf hydrangeas myself at my home, and I have observed them for 30 years. So it's not a plant that I'm unfamiliar with by any measure. I have a lot of them, but I do not ever recall seeing the symptoms you're describing. So we're going to have to kind of hold hands on this thing and figure out together what's happening. First of all, I want to know what difference there is in the amount of lighting that these, how many are involved? Four, five?
Four.
Yes. In the lighting that these four plants receive, is there any difference in how much sunlight they receive?
There is probably the first one, which is closest to the house, gets the least amount of sun.
Okay, and in a scale of 1 to 4, scale of 1 to 4, how does it look? Is it the best, the worst, or in between?
It's the best.
All right.
But that
confirms
one that has the spots.
And it's the one that has the spots?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That kind of confirms, until the spots showed up, kind of confirms what I expected, because oak leaf hydrangeas need to have shade. I posted a photo on my Facebook page a couple of days ago, taken in my own yard, of my oak leaf hydrangeas about noon. It was moist. They've just leafed out. They're in bloom. They're beautiful. And most of the day, they look fabulous. There's an hour of sunlight in the middle of the day, and those poor babies just wilt every day, starting in the spring until fall. They wilt because they just can't hold it together in bright sunlight. They don't get hurt by it because it's a very transitory thing. But my point in posting it on Facebook was to show that plants that wilt don't necessarily need to be watered. Usually they do, but not necessarily. Always check the soil. So that would account for why some of the others that get a little more light might be hurting. The spots, are the spots on all of the leaves, or are they on older leaves, or are they only on the brand newest of the leaves? I mean, all these leaves have come out in the last 3 weeks, but are the spots on all of them or just on one part of them?
They're pretty much on all of them. We just noticed it recently, however.
I would watch the new growth and see if it also develops the spots. If it does, then you either have a fungal leaf spot that I'm totally unfamiliar with, or you have some kind of a chemical burn going on, or I have no idea. I'm clueless. I can't go any farther on that one. Now, as far as the ones that have died, you lost some branches on some of them?
Yes.
I have had that happen.
Pretty much more than half the tree.
All right, I have had that happen, not to that extent, but I have had that happen, and the best I could tell on my own was that they had been snapped in some way, either by being bumped into by an animal or by me, or somebody else in the yard, or an errant ball of some sort that the grandkids might have thrown. I mean, it was an odd thing. I don't know of any. I know of one disease, no insects, and no other diseases that bother oak leaf hydrangeas. The one disease is cotton root rot. It kills them quickly. It doesn't mess around. It gets the entire plant. I haven't lost any, but I'm not. It would not surprise me. I don't know of any other insect or disease. Drought and sun are their enemies. I'm out of gas. That's what I have. Yeah. I've run my marathon, and I finished at mile 8.
we're actually tempted to dig up the three
All right.
that aren't doing
Post me
well.
A photo. Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
Post me a photo at Neil Sperry and let me look at him. Okay. I really need to see that. NEILSPERRY.
We're about halfway tempted to dig them up and put knockout roses there.
I can't conceive in my wildest dreams a planting site where knockout roses could grow that oak leaf hydrangeas might have grown. They are full sun to full shade plants. If knockout roses are able to grow there, I say, oh my gosh, about the oak leaf hydrangeas. If oak leaves survived there a while, knockouts aren't going to make it. They got to have the polar opposites of lighting.
Really?
I'll help you if I can. At least take a photo to a nurseryman. I got to run.
I'll
I appreciate that. You bet. Thank you. Larry, I'm going to make it worth your while. I promised you I'd get you on. I'm going to tell Mike something during the break, and we will make it worth your horrific wait that you've had to go through. We had a bunch of calls in a hurry, and a couple of them just, it seemed like, took longer than I expected them to. So just bear with me, and we will help you. We will help you. Help is on the way. Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine. Get a 3-year subscription to my magazine. Pay only $44.95. You know what? That's not even double the 2-year price. That's less than double the 2-year price. You're getting 3 years. I didn't say that right. The normal price is $23.95 per year, almost $24. You double that, that's almost $48. You're getting this for $44.95. That's what I was trying to say. It's less than $15 per year for a magazine that normally sells for $23.95. It is the best deal you're going to find on our magazine, best deal that we have had in a long, 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 long time. And your satisfaction is completely guaranteed. Our magazine is written by the finest garden writers in Texas, specifically for your Texas landscape and garden. Your satisfaction is guaranteed to every penny. If you're not satisfied, we'll refund it all. And you'll go on about your way. I do not put the magazine in bookstores, on magazine racks, because I can't compete with the big national publications. We are a regional publication, Texas only. In fact, to that point, it was has been recognized nationally as being the best regional gardening magazine in the United States. 3 years, new or renewal, satisfaction guaranteed, just $44.95 if you call before 11 today. You must call before 11 today. 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-4769.
Discover Twin Oaks Nursery, just 30 minutes north of McKinney off Highway 75 in Denison. Twin Oaks Nursery carries a huge selection of color and shrubs, including beautiful Nellie R. Stevens holly in pyramid form, an unusual single-stem tree form. They invite you to visit their new greenhouse filled with color, tropical plants, gifts, and more. Be sure to attend their free educational seminars every Saturday morning. For more details, visit their website, twinoaksonline.com, or call 903-463-2205.
Are you tired of all the time you spend working on your lawn and landscape just to have grubs come in and start eating it from the roots up and leaving behind dead patches in your lawns and flowers wilting everywhere? Let's not forget the animals that tear up your lawn, eating the grubs, leaving mounds or holes everywhere. Bonide's annual grub beater is the answer to this problem. One easy application of annual grub beater kills the grubs all season long. It can be applied anytime from spring through late summer. You'll have a grub-free lawn and landscape. Bonide's annual grub beater is not just for the grubs. It will also control chinch bugs and a long list of many other insects. Check the label for specific insects in your lawn. It is the product to use. Bonide's annual grub beater is available at Jabo's, Ace Hardware in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, Wells Brothers in Plano, and Garden World in Abilene. Or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. And while you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Android, or download it directly to your computer. It's Bonide.com, Bonide's annual grub beater. Those welcome spring rains that have made everything look so beautiful aren't so welcome for your foundation. This is Neil Sperry for Advanced Foundation Repair. The rains have made our dry soils expand, putting enormous pressure on your foundation. If you're seeing little cracks in the walls, or if your doors are starting to stick, call Advanced Foundation Repair. Their patented Pro-Lift repairs come with a transferable lifetime warranty. Advanced Foundation Repair, 214-333-0003. Foundation Repairs.com.
Encore Azaleas add bright, beautiful color to your garden in spring, summer, and fall. Developed by the renowned plant expert Buddy Lee, Encore Azaleas are available in 25 flower colors and plant sizes. There's an Encore Azalea for every garden, for every landscape. Encore Azaleas tolerate more sun than traditional azaleas, so they thrive even in the hot Texas climate. Plant them where they get 4 hours of morning sun for the best bloom, 4 to 6 hours. They need to be planted in pure organic matter. Your nurseryman can explain that, but ideally it's 20 inches deep, 10 inches below grade, 10 inches above grade, and it's half
peat moss, Canadian peat moss, and half finely ground pine bark mulch. No native black clay soil, please. Visit EncoreAzalea.com now to find a garden center near you and to view planting instructions for the Texas soils. Plant your Encore Azalea today. Enjoy beautiful azalea blooms in spring, summer, and fall. Encore Azalea, the world's best-selling azalea. Ask for them by name. What a great name it is. Encore, E-N-C-O-R-E. So named because they bloom three times per year. EncoreAzalea.com. Back to the phone lines. Larry in Mansfield, you have finally made it. I'm so sorry you had to wait so long. How can I help?
Not a problem. I just appreciate you taking the call.
Thank you, sir. And I can help you, and I wanted you to get that help because this is not going to be a difficult one. So
right. You had told me for years that St. Augustine grass was a stronger grass, which I started out with in my yard, but I noticed over the last years it's been taken over by Bermuda, and I'm thinking, what am I not missing here? Am I not putting something on that St. Augustine to make it stronger?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, let me catch everybody up to speed on that. St. Augustine will crowd into Bermuda if it has reasonable care and if it's mowed at a good St. Augustine height. And it will almost always trump Bermuda grass. I have found in my own landscape that where I had a little St. Augustine in some soil that I used, quote, up on the hill, we have a 1-acre area between our house and our county road that I really don't landscape much, and I was just filling a hole where I had taken a tree out.
Right.
And the St. Augustine gradually has spread to cover 40 or 50 feet across. Last year set it back because I don't irrigate that area, but it's still there. It survived. A lot of times we take too good a care of St. Augustine. A lot of times we try to fertilize it in the middle of the summer. It is a warm season grass, and that's the logical thing to do, but gray leaf spot weakens it in the summer when we put nitrogen on it in late June, July, or August. So there's one way it could be weakened. It could be weakened by not addressing chinch bugs when they show up in the summer. Bermuda is not as susceptible to chinch bugs, and so it will begin to move back in when chinch bugs have done damage.
Right.
And then more recently, we've had so much problem last year and year before with take-all root rot, take-all patch in St. Augustine. Bermuda is susceptible, but not at the same level, and so there again, the St. Augustine is held back and the Bermuda can get a hold. I don't know that you can ever get rid of all Bermuda grass, but if you mow St. Augustine at 2 inches, that's a little bit high for Bermuda. It's perfect for St. Augustine. If you fertilize in mid-April, and it's not too late to do that now, mid-April, mid-June, and early September. Those would be the ideal times for the St. Augustine. And then if you do see chinch bugs, you deal with those. And if you do see the take-all root rot in late April or May, this year is extremely light for take-all root rot. But if you see it, you put out the peat moss that's recommended. Those are the things you can do to foster the St. Augustine. And it, you know, you can go out and tell it I said this. It needs to be covering and crowding out that Bermuda. It can happen. It can happen. Is there any pattern of any of where the Bermuda is taking over? As to, is it hot, dry areas? What's happening?
Okay, that'll.
Larry, is there any pattern in your lawn where the
no.
St. Augustine has died back? Okay.
Pretty much total front yard where it sees the same sun.
Okay. Is there any chance it got a little drier than the St. Augustine might have wanted? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the best I have, and I hope that was worth the wait that you had. And then the other thing that Mike told you about,
sprinkler system catches it all.
Okay. Well.
Well, that sounds good.
It will work. I think given a more normal year, I think it'll work. I appreciate your call so much. Thank you, sir. All right, let's see. We're going to come back to Dorothy in Milford in just a second, and then Joe and Forney, and then I'm going to give you the phone numbers. I don't have any way to tie up a few of the phone lines, and there are so many of them that when they're all full, so I don't give the number as often as a lot of shows will because we get a lot of calls. So Dorothy and Joe, you'll be coming up in the next break, which is our longest break of the morning each time. What is scoliosis? Well, it's a disorder of the spine in which the vertebrae actually rotate and a curve is created in either the upper or the lower back. The Baylor Scoliosis Center at Baylor Plano has been caring for adolescent and adult scoliosis patients for 7.5 years. We found out about the Baylor Scoliosis Center 7 years ago, right about now, when we were at Baylor Plano with our daughter. She does not have scoliosis, but she had a very, very life-threatening infection that is just a random thing. It operates kind of like meningitis does. It operates, it's the flesh-eating bacterium, just one in a million cases. And they saved her life there. So we were there, we were pretty grateful, and we were really paying attention to what else went on at that brand new hospital at that time. The Scully Score test was developed by the Baylor Scoliosis Center. It's the first genetic test to help provide physicians and parents with insight into the possible progression of your child's adolescent idiopathic scoliosis. And to perform that Scully Score test, a member of the physician's office team takes a saliva sample from your child, sends the sample to the lab for analysis. Physicians receive the results within 2 to 3 weeks, and that information can be used by your physician to help create a personalized treatment plan for your child. It's ideal for children between ages of 9 and 13, those with a diagnosis of adult idiopathic scoliosis, and children with a mild curve of 10 to 25 degrees. For more information, visit the BaylorScoliosisCenter.com. TheBaylorScoliosisCenter.com or call 800-4-BAYLOR to request a physician at the Baylor Scoliosis Center. The Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano, that we call Baylor Plano, is at the northeast corner of Preston Road and George Bush Turnpike, and the Baylor Scoliosis Center is there.
Opinions, ideas, agreements, disagreements. This is Life on your radio. 820 AM and 96.7 FM, WBAP.
The folks at Covington Nursery have asked me to speak from my own personal experience. I look at my ad copy here, and it is the most brief. I don't have any specials to tell you about because they always have specials, and I'll tell you how to find out what they are. They know how much I think of them, and they want me just to tell you that. And I love this kind of ad because I get to tell you about the 18-acre nursery. I get to tell you about the people at Covington's. They make a business. People make a business. And Joe Covington, his wife Gail, are sweet, wonderful friends of 30 years, and they have surrounded themselves with talented plant people. Front to back in that nursery, everything there is really spectacular. They bring truckloads of merchandise in, Japanese maples like you have never seen. We are featuring them on Dig In, my television program, because nobody has any more Japanese maples than Covington's does in Rowlett. Nobody grows more crepe myrtle varieties or sells more than Covington's in Rowlett. Roses, oh yes, they have a bunch. In fact, you can check out their entire inventory, their available stock list, at CovingtonNursery.com to see what an incredible inventory they have. Now, I'm going to suggest to you look through it kind of carefully because, for example, with crepe myrtle, some of them are listed at one size or another size. Some of them are going to be in the half price house. I mean, you have to look through the entire site, and that's when you realize these people have everything. Sizes and prices are included. Even plants in the half price house are listed, and those plants are beautiful. They just happen to get a really good deal on them. How do you find Covington's? Well, on the web for that inventory list, it's CovingtonNursery.com. And on the ground, they're at 5518 President George Bush Highway. And that's formerly Liberty Grove Road. Most GPSs won't have President George Bush Highway yet. So let me tell you where they are. They're in Rowlett. Highway 66 is Lakeview Parkway. And George Bush intersects it. And they are in the northeast corner of that intersection, just across the turnpike from the big super target there. Covington Nursery, open 7 days a week, 972-475-5888, covingtonnursery.com. Jerry Overton, I hope, will still be my friend. He is in the WBAP 24/7 newsroom. I get to him a little late. Jerry?
Hi there, Neil. WBAP News Time now, 9:35. Opening arguments begin tomorrow in John Edwards' criminal case.
The whole case got its start with a chance encounter on a street corner here in New York City more than 6 years ago, when John Edwards, a married man in pursuit of the White House, met Riel Hunter, a free-spirited former actress. She told him he was hot. And, well, we know where it went from there.
And the former Democratic nominee for vice president charged with 6 counts related to campaign finance violations. Walmart may be facing an investigation over allegations of bribery in Mexico. New York Times reporting Walmart hushed up the bribery campaign the top executives of its Mexican subsidiary carried out. Bribes reportedly paid to get stores built in Mexico. A volleyball and soccer ball found on an island off Alaska's mainland may be among the first Japan tsunami debris to wash ashore there. Anchorage Daily News reports the sports balls were spotted by a radar technician on Middleton Island. WBAP News Time, 9:35.
In Dallas, southbound 75 Central Expressway Service Road at Forest Lane, an accident is being cleared. So far, no major delays. This report brought to you by Bank of Texas. As families and dreams grow, life has a way of sneaking up on you. With Bank of Texas, you'll be ready to live those moments to the fullest and have a strong plan for the future. Plan for tomorrow today. Bank of Texas, member FDIC. With the 24-hour on-time traffic watch, I'm Blaine Brooks on News Talk 820 AM and 96.7 FM WBAP.
And the WBAP Weather In Touch forecast looks great all week. Sunny and 78 today, maybe a little windy today and tonight. Down to 49 tonight, then 74 tomorrow. Sunny 79 on Tuesday, sunny and 84, 83 degrees on Wednesday and Thursday. Sunny and 67 degrees at DFW right now. And with spring storm season here, get instant updates from WBAP Chief Meteorologist Brad Barton right on your smartphone. Go to weatherintouch.net to subscribe. It's 9:37. I'm Jerry Overton, News Talk 820 AM, 96.7 FM, WBAP.
Lentz Landscape Lighting lights the way you live. They light the way we live at our home, and we love it. Lentz Landscape Lighting, they do terrific work. They've been doing this now for 25 years, and I'm proud to recommend them to you. Someone recommended them to me about 20 or 21 years ago, and they said, why are you messing with do-it-yourself projects on landscape lighting? First of all, Neil, you do not appear to be a tree climber. And that was true. I installed the lights about as high as I could reach from a step stool. Well, Lentz climbers are the finest climbers you'll find anywhere, and they will go high in the trees if you have tall trees to hang their very small LED lights so that they will cast the light down full moonlight 365 nights a year. If you don't have large trees yet, not to worry. They have creative ways to get you the beautiful lighting as well. Lentz Landscape Lighting, you will enjoy it even in the wintertime. I mean, here we are in the spring, and I'm telling you this, you'll enjoy it even in the winter when you have mist or fog or when you have snow. That's way cool when you look out there and you see the beams of light coming through, and it filters through with the tree leaves right now. It just looks like a full moon all the time. Really, really a fun thing to add. And I might add that Lentz Landscape Lighting also adds to the security and the safety around your home. And that's pretty important, too, in this day and age. To find out a whole lot more, you can go to their website at LentzLandscapeLighting.com, L-E-N-T-Z, LentzLandscapeLighting.com. But what you will not find out on the website is that these are really nice people. Lentz Landscape Lighting.com, 972-241-0622. 972-241-0622. Lentz Landscape Lighting.
Opinions, ideas, agreements, disagreements. This is Life on your radio. 820 AM and 96.7 FM. WBAP.
All right. Sorry, we had some kind of a technical glitch from one studio to another there and lost the contact. Black Cow composted cow manure starts with cow manure from dairy farms right in Texas. They add then water and Texas sunshine to aid the natural composting process, which takes about 3 months to complete. Black Cow is fully composted. There's no bad odor. Black Cow is a terrific soil conditioner for improving weak, sandy, or rocky soils by adding organic matter and improving water retention in the root zone, very important during the dry months. For healthy plants, start with healthy soil. Work Black Cow into your flower beds. Work it into vegetable gardens as you rework them for second rounds of vegetables. It won't burn tender plants. It provides essential nutrients. You can spread it out in and then rototill it in. It will do a great job. Also great in flower beds for new trees and shrubs, for new ground cover beds. It will increase the organic content and encourage good root development. Add Black Cow to soils used in hanging baskets, window boxes, plants, and other pots. Black Cow has a great website with a lot of important information. Check them out. Now, you got to spell it the right way here, folks. It's Black Cow, K-O-W. So you have a double K in the middle of that URL. BlackKow.com. You'll find it at most Lowe's garden centers, many fine independent retail nurseries and garden centers. Ask for it by name. It's going to be in that bright yellow and black bag. Black Cow, BlackKow.com.
Those numbers to call Neil now, 214-787-1820 or 800-288-WBAP. That's 800-288-9227. You can call him now. Once again, here's Neil Sperry.
Thank you, Mary. We go back to the phone lines to Dorothy in Milford, our dear friend. Dorothy, how are you?
Getting better every day.
I bet you are. It's a beautiful day in Milford.
Oh, this is my time of year.
Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
My husband planted a pecan tree, and it must be 10, 12 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Always we've gotten either, you know, a good showing of pecans or a skip showing. But the last 2 years, I've had that black stuff that gets on them and they fall off.
They fall off early?
Yes.
Okay.
I've forgotten what you call it.
It's called pecan scab.
Yes. The last 2 years. Now, will I get that every year from now, or will it go away like it came?
It does not go away. In fact, it is a native fungal disease of pecans in the eastern half of the state, where the humidity is very high. It's the main reason. I know you have listened to me for a long time, and you hear me talk about the variety called Caddo, C-A-D-D-O. That's the reason that Dr. McEachern at A&M recommends Caddo pecans. They are not as susceptible to pecan scab as others, and therefore you don't have to spray for it. It's a difficult one to spray for, Dorothy. I have, at my home, I live in a pecan forest, and I have decided a long time ago I'm not going to spray for pecan scab. I take my losses when they happen, and they happen every year. They'll start falling in August and September with the black husks.
Yeah.
And I can't justify spraying because the equipment is expensive and you have to spray. Every time you spray your pecans for pecan case bearers in May and for hickory shuckworms in August and pecan weevils in August and for other things during the growing season, you have to mix a fungicide in to control the pecan scab. And my life is just too short for all that stuff. So,
will it affect the tree?
No, not in the least.
Not well, I'll just go with it then.
Yeah, and you'll still get a lot of good pecans. It's just that you'll lose some of them, and a commercial grower would be able to justify. A commercial grower would have 100 trees or 1,000 trees,
so
and they'd
one,
have the equipment. Same here. I don't have enough to justify it. And, you know, there's enough of me already. I don't need to be eating that many more pecans. I get plenty. So.
But it does not go away.
No, it's been around since before.
I mean, it will not leave my tree.
No, that's exactly right. Your tree has proven susceptibility to pecan scab like most pecans do, and therefore it's going to be a problem some years worse than others. Just sit tight. You got to go worry about something else.
Oh, well, I'm not worried about it, as long as it doesn't hurt the tree.
Well, I just wanted to have you worrying about something. We all need to have something that we just sit around and fret about. We've been friends. You know I'm kidding you. Dorothy, I better run. I really appreciate your call. I'm going to have the afternoon with the grandkids, and I'll tell them you said hi. Yeah. Be well, my friend. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks a bunch.
You bet. Thank you. Let's go to Joe in Forney. Joe, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm fine. Thank you for waiting patiently. How can I help?
Well, I've got a new landscape that I've actually had somebody put in for me. I've never had an irrigation system before. We put one of those in as well.
Good.
But the only problem, the hitch is, I know it was not an ideal time of year to transplant or to move a Texas mountain laurel that I just love, but it was move it or lose it, and so we did. And I've never experienced a plant with transplant shock before. I'm wondering if that's what this is, and, what my chances are of the thing surviving. I'm kind of
how large
about
it.
Is it? The largest, it's multi-trunk. The largest trunk is probably 2 inches in diameter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 1.5 to 2 inches.
Was it dug recently then?
Yes, sir. About 2 weeks ago.
Okay. And was it in a nursery or in a
No, native? It was moved from one part of my yard to the where we put the new landscape.
All right. I'm with you.
Yes, sir.
I can't predict whether it'll survive or not. Most of the native Southwest Texas plants are pretty durable. Mm-hmm. When I was that plant is toxic to livestock, and my dad was a range ecologist with Texas A&M.
He did I didn't a lot realize it was toxic there.
Oh yeah. There's even more to that that I don't put on the radio, but
okay.
Do a little research on it.
Okay,
It is commonly referred to by another name, and that is mescal bean, M-E-S-C-A-L, and I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, that would have been interesting in high school, but I don't think it's going to do anything for me now.
Yeah, I understand. There you go. But it is a plant that reforested or repopulated burned hillsides between Lakey and Camp Wood, and the sheep and goat raisers down there asked Texas A&M to help them eradicate it. And so I spent my summers working with my dad, we were in College Station, but he'd go out there for a week at a time and do herbicide research on Texas mountain laurel.
Well, that's amazing.
And I helped on that, and those plants, you know, the population is still there to a large degree. And I had a nursery by then, and I was digging it up and bringing it back, and I never did very well with them. I did okay with senecas, Doug, in the summer. Small plants, but not with mountain laurel, and certainly not with anything of the size that you're describing. That's a tough time to move. Spring may be even tougher because you have all that succulent new growth.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
One of the things that I will tell you is that you're going to need to prune it back. It probably, it definitely should have been done instantly when you moved it. And it's a significant prune, probably by 50%, 50.
Well, that was the main thing. That's the only place I think the folks kind of let me down on the landscaping, because I felt like something like that should have been done. But
well, I don't know that would have made the difference. So
right.
Moving something at this time of year, and so, you know, you may not be able to save it. Trunks of that size have some really pretty wood in them. I lost my mountain laurel that was given in my mom's memory 20 years ago to shade and to an unusual decay in the trunk, and I made pens out of it for Serenity High, my fundraiser
yeah,
that I do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful wood, but anyway, I would say trim it and hope for the best, and if it doesn't make it, then I'd replant another one because they sure are pretty.
I will, and just the characteristics, it looks like it needs water, but I don't think that's the case. Is that part
No. It needs water. Yes, it needs water, and the reason it needs water is it has all that top growth, and it lost a bunch of roots.
Okay. So
it is not because it's... Yes, yeah, hear me closely, because sure. This is what I was talking about with the oak leaf hydrangea. This is a plant that is wilted, but it is not because the soil's dry. It's because it can't get enough water.
Okay.
You know, it's possible to be living in a rainforest and to die of thirst because you can't get out the door to get the water.
And well, then I'll hand water it more than, would you recommend that?
I would recommend watering when it's dry. Water right. is not the cause of this problem. It's a secondary cause. That's my point.
Okay, I understand that. Just one thing real quick.
Sure.
I think I've told you before. Grew up listening to you in the 70s with my father. Now my son's an avid listener. And
uh-huh.
just last weekend, I've got a 4-year-old grandson, Grayson Luke, came over the house. I was listening to Elvis instead of you in the study for a few minutes. He came in and said, "Papa, it's Sunday. We listen to Neil Sperry." So, you know.
I will tell you that you have now given me the second call out of 350,000 calls, the second one that will be on my iPod and on my iPhone.
Well,
I love
that's it.
I will find it and I will save it. Well, you and Ricardo will be there together, two of my most special calls. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we made the list because you've done a lot for us over the years.
Thank you very, very much. Have a great Sunday. You made mine.
You too, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye. Oh, wow. All right. And from that, I need to tell you about my magazine, Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine. And it is recognized, has been awarded the best regional gardening magazine in the United States. Gardening is a regional hobby. It's a hobby that you pursue in your own locale. And what grows in one place won't grow in another. It just is the way it works. We have always said, in fact, on the cover it says, the definitive word in Texas horticulture. And we have tried to live up to that for the 26 years that we have had Gardens Magazine and for the future as well. And I know that our staff does its very best in providing that to you. It looks like the big national gardening magazines, but the very critical difference is you can trust every word of our magazine to apply to your Texas landscape and garden. I always have guaranteed your satisfaction with our magazine, or I'll refund every penny. That even applies to this incredible offer I'm about to describe. A 3-year new or renewal subscription to our magazine is just $44.95. A 1-year subscription is $23.95. You get 3 years for less than double that price for $44.95. It's less than $15 a year when you buy 3 years together, new or renewal, today before 11. You need to call right now. 1-800-752-GROW. If it's busy, please call right back. 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-4769.
Is your swimming pool turning green? Go to Dixon Brothers with a water sample. Get a step-by-step balance guide and professional strength pool life maintenance chemicals to keep it a beautiful, sparkling blue. Do you have leaves carpeting the bottom of your pool? You can pick up a Polaris robotic pool sweep, leaf nets, brushes, and other helpful accessories. Does your swimming pool equipment need some TLC? Need a new heater, filter, pump, or motor? Call Dixon Brothers, 972-288-7537, and make a service appointment to start the season right. Rely on folks at Dixon Brothers for fish, pond, or water garden supplies and spring startup advice. Get aquatic plants and water lilies, spring pond cleaners, medicated fish foods, thermometers, and much more. Dixon Brothers is the Metroplex's authority in swimming pools, floating fountains, water gardens, and koi ponds. Call 972-288-7537. 972-288-7537. That's Dixon Brothers at 204 North Galloway, Mesquite. Quality products, tried and tested. DICKSON.
Since 1983, the experts at WhizQ Stone have been a leader across the Metroplex, turning landscape dreams into reality. With 22 acres of beautiful natural stones such as flagstone, decorative cobblestone, boulders, river rock, and gravel, the skilled professionals at WhizQ Stone can help you have the outdoor living area you've always wanted. Visit their outside showroom of extensive displays, which will inspire and help you to create and design your personal outdoor paradise. With many different water features and sitting areas, they have used every element in hardscapes and plantings to show the beauty of all these products and how they can be used in your home. WhizQ professionals will conduct free how-to classes on Saturday, April 28th, how to build a pondless waterfall, and Saturday, May 5th, how to install thin veneer stone. All classes will start at 10 a.m. each Saturday in the Lifestyle Display Gardens at WhizQ Stone. Visit the experts at WhizQ at their website at whizq.com. WhizQ Stone, leaders in hardscape and landscaping supplies, helping to build the lifestyle of your dream.
All right, let me tell you right now about Jamasco, and this is pine bark mulch from Jamasco. This is one that I sought out. This is an ad that I asked Michelle Shook, my sales rep, please contact Jamasco. I have used their product for 20 years. I want to talk about it. I want to tell others about it. All of those 20 years, you know, you can't tell who my sponsors are from the answers I give, and my hands are tied. I can't tell you my favorite peat moss because I don't have any ads in which to do it, and I'm just not going to offer that. It's not that people have to pay me to say those things. I just don't want to turn this into a program where I'm just promoting this and promoting that. Even now with Jamasco, until I get into my ad, you don't know that that's the one that I'm talking about. I love this product. I buy 50 bags at a time. I very often will buy it to kind of pack plants in that I'm transporting home from the nursery if I have large plants. So I use it kind of for that. That's an oddball purpose. But then when I get home, I put it around all of my shrubs, all my perennials. It gives such a wonderful look to the garden. There are a lot of Jamasco products. I specifically like their pine bark mulch. Nickel and dime size pieces. You've heard me say that. I use it as a soil amendment. I use it as a pathway. I wouldn't want to put it on a really steep slope where it wash, but I use it as a pathway. And if a little bit of it washes, hey, it is so affordable. I'd rather have it than decomposed granite. I really like Jamasco pine bark mulch. Can you tell? I hope that you'll ask for it by name. Let me give you the spelling of that name. You'll find it at independent retail garden centers, and there are lots of them that handle it. They know how to get it if they don't have it. Jemasco. Jamasco pine bark mulch, packaged right here in Texas. Jemasco. Jamasco pine bark mulch. We go back to our phone lines now. Let's go to, let me clear a board here. We go to Frank in Burleson. Frank, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing today?
Well, I appreciate your call.
Okay, sir. I just got a little problem with my garden. I've got my tomato plants. I've got about 6 or 7 tomato plants that are turning yellow, kind of yellowish. And I have a little bit of everything else, like potatoes and watermelon and corn and peppers. You know, all in throughout the garden, and it's about a 15 by 15 size.
And the rest of the plants look pretty good?
Everything else looks fine. And
all right,
everything. Tell
me about the yellowing. Is it spots, or is it just an overall look to the plants?
It's pretty much an overall look, and then I'm starting to see a little spots, but not much.
Is it more pronounced?
Kind of yellowish.
Is it more pronounced at the bottom, on the bottom leaves, or over the entire plant?
It's kind of over the entire plant.
All right. Yellowing, I'm going to give you two answers because I haven't heard exactly what I needed to hear to give you only one answer.
Okay.
A light green color of tomatoes, or some might say a chartreuse light yellowish cast to the green, could be nitrogen deficiency. And in all of our North Texas soils, our soils are very deficient in nitrogen, the first number of the fertilizer analysis. So if you have not applied a nitrogen fertilizer recently, I would try that. Now, I would have expected some of those other plants like corn to show nitrogen deficiency too, because they are heavy, heavy feeders on nitrogen. All right. That said, the first problem that I see showing up every year on tomatoes is early blight. It's a disease that will cause the lower leaves to develop yellow spots. And they are kind of thumbprint-sized yellow spots, but they're very distinctly spots. And for that one, you need to use a fungicide, and you also should make sure you don't splash water up on those leaves.
Okay. Now,
so those.
I mixed my soil when I repaired it. I put a lot of mulch in there.
Yeah, this is not about the soil. It's not about the mulch. I'm going to need to put you back on hold. We've got news coming in 5 seconds, and I'll let Mike help you a little more, but I think we're close.